Amen. As the heading on our order of worship indicates this morning, today is Christ the King, or Reign of Christ Sunday. Now, this special Sunday was first introduced by Pope Pius XI in 1925 for three reasons. First, that nations would see that the church has the right to freedom and immunity from the state. Second, that leaders and nations would see that they are bound to give respect to Christ. And third, that the faithful would gain strength and courage from the celebration of the feast, as we are reminded that Christ must reign in our hearts, minds, wills, and bodies. Many Protestant denominations adopted this special day when a common lectionary was established in the 1970s, and it is always placed on the last Sunday of the liturgical year, just before the first Sunday of Advent. And the latest it could possibly be is November 26, and that is what today is. Now, that may be more information than you wanted on the history of this holy day. After all, words like king and reign are just not in our natural vocabulary. Our ancestors fought a revolution against having kings reign over us. They wrote a Declaration of Independence, a Constitution, and a Bill of Rights against the establishment of a king in this country. In fact, we pride ourselves on being independent, free thinkers. We do not wish to be told what to do or where to go or how to live our lives. Like William Ernest Henley's poem Invictus, we like to think of ourselves as masters of our fate and captains of our souls. In fact, I have found it more than a little ironic that given our penchant for rugged individualism, we American Christians don't seem to struggle much at all, referring to Christ as our King. We speak of him that way in the hymns we sing. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. Crown him with many crowns, we sing today. Lead on, O King eternal. Indeed, all the royal titles for Christ flow from our tongue without a second thought. Lord, Messiah, which is Hebrew for anointed one. Christ, which is Greek for anointed one. We speak of his rule over our lives. We love passages of scripture like our text from Ephesians this morning, which speak of Christ as sitting at the right hand of God, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, and that everything has been put under his feet, and he is head over all things. Or Jesus himself saying in our Matthew passage, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. We do not struggle with using such terms when talking about Jesus Christ. There is, of course, a big difference between referring to Christ as our King and paying homage to any earthly king. Earthly kings frequently forget that they exist to serve their people. They can become despotic, autocratic, dictatorial. But Christ's kingship is wholly different from that. Christ's crown is made of thorns. Christ's power is demonstrated most vividly in the fact that he died for us. Christ's reign is defined by how he went about healing the sick and offering hope to the hopeless. In his best-selling book, The Jesus I Never Knew, Philip Yancey contrasts the humility that characterized Jesus' royal visit to the planet Earth with the prestigious image associated with world rulers today. He writes, Queen Elizabeth II visited the United States and reporters delighted in spelling out the logistics involved. Her 4,000 pounds of luggage, including two outfits for every occasion, a morning outfit in case someone died, 40 pints of plasma, I guess to make sure they don't die, and white kid leather toilet seat covers. She brought along her own hairdresser, two valets, and a host of other attendants. A brief visit of royalty to a foreign country can easily cost $20 million. Yancey concluded, in meek contrast, God's visit to Earth took place in an animal shelter with no attendants present and nowhere to lay the newborn king but a feed trough. We are drawn to our kingly Christ precisely because of the kind of king he is. And because we know that, without Christ as Lord of our lives, we would be lost and without hope. We ask Jesus to enter our hearts and our lives because we know he is the way and the truth and the life. It is believed to have been Napoleon Bonaparte who said, "I marvel that whereas the ambitious dreams of myself, Caesar, Alexander, should have vanished into thin air, a Judean peasant, Jesus, should be able to stretch his hands across the destinies of people and nations. I know humanity, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and myself have founded empires. But what do these creations of our genius depend? Upon force. Jesus alone founded his empire upon love. And to this very day, millions would die for him." Yet even on this special day, Christ the King Sunday, it is not enough for us simply to reflect upon Christ's lordship and authority over our lives, or even to reflect upon how Christ redefines true kingship. We must also ask what his kingship means for how we are to live our lives in obedience to him. And that is the focus of what Jesus says in our lesson from Matthew's gospel. After telling us that he will return sitting on his glorious throne, he lets us know that he will be identifying those who will inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. And who will they be? They will be those who fed Christ when he was hungry, gave him drink when he was thirsty, welcomed him when he was a stranger, clothed him when he was naked, and visited him when he was sick or imprisoned. And when he was asked when he was ever cared for in those ways, he replied, "Truly I say to you, you did it, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me." You see, we can call Christ King and Lord and Master and Messiah all day long. But unless and until we live our lives the way Christ lived his, we cannot be part of his kingdom. Our lives must necessarily reflect the way Christ is king for us. Christ wants the whole world to know of the kind of king he is, and he looks to us to demonstrate his kingship in how we treat each other. Christ is a servant king. Therefore, we are called upon by Christ to serve others even as he has served us. We are to give to the needs of others in our daily walk with Christ the King. I love to tell the Jewish tale told by Saul Bellow. He said, in a small Jewish town in Russia, there is a rabbi who disappears each Friday morning for several hours. His devoted disciples boasted that during those hours, their rabbi goes up to heaven and talks to God. And a stranger moves to town, and he is skeptical about all this, so he decides to check things out. He hides and watches. The rabbi gets up every morning, says his prayers, and then dresses in peasant clothes. He grabs an axe, goes off into the woods, and cuts some firewood, which he then hauls to a shack on the outskirts of the village. There, an old woman and her sick son live. He leaves them the wood, enough for a week, and then sneaks back home. Having observed the rabbi's actions, the newcomer stays on in the village and becomes the rabbi's newest disciple. And whenever he hears one of the villagers say, on Friday morning our rabbi ascends all the way to heaven, the newcomer quietly adds, if not higher. As you support the Salvation Army, and the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank, and the Augusta Free Clinic, and Eye Care, and the Presbyterian Children's Home of the Highlands, and 4 cents a meal, and Operation Christmas Child, and any other program to help others in need, you are living in the kingship of Christ as the congregation of Bethel Presbyterian Church. But whenever you see someone in need and respond to that need with tangible love and kindness, you are doing it to Christ. And that is the key, you know. Seeing the presence of Christ in every other person you meet. If we can just see the presence of Christ in a person before we see their race or their ethnicity or their behavior or their religion or their politics or anything else that separates us from their need, just think how much we could serve Christ in this old world. Three years ago, as I began my work in the presbytery, I had the honor of visiting our presbytery partners in the Ilubabor Synod in Ethiopia. A group of us stayed for several days in the synod compound in Metu. And the woman who cooked our meals had a son whom I estimated to be about 12 years old, and he hung out by himself outside the dining hall, not doing much of anything. He didn't speak English, and I, of course, didn't speak Ethiopian, but I decided to make a connection with him. I asked him if he played sports by sort of pantomiming hitting a baseball and throwing a football, and he responded by pantomiming that he liked to play soccer. So the next day, our group went into town, and I asked if we could stop someplace so I could purchase a soccer ball. When I came back to the compound, he was still hanging around outside, not doing much of anything. So I took the ball and I kicked it over to him. And his face lit up. And he kicked it back. Well, we must have kicked the ball back and forth for about a half an hour before it was time to go in for dinner. So I handed him the ball and tried to make clear that it was for him to keep. The next morning, I came out of my room, and there he stood, ball in hand, ready to play again. I'm not a morning person. But we played and kicked the ball back and forth. And this went on day after day after day until it was finally time for us to leave Ethiopia to come home. And I came out of my room that day only to see the boy sitting on the stoop wiping away tears. I asked one of our hosts if he could find out why the boy was crying. And the boy told him that he was going to miss kicking the ball back and forth with me. Our host explained that the boy never knew his father, and that I had been like a father to him. I had no idea that just kicking a soccer ball with that boy could mean so much to him. Lord, when did we see thee hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, imprisoned? You just never know, do you? Let us pray.